Welcome to Be Strong Minded Podcast. I'm Petia Kolibová, a mind, body, and soul transformation guide, meditation teacher, fitness and wellness expert, self-love junkie, and lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, I will be offering an interview or idea that will support you to build a strong mindset and confidence to leave behind your past suffering, enjoy the present moment, and create the life you deserve. I will take you on a journey of self-discovery by elevating your energy and connecting with your soul while offering simple steps and tools you can use right now to create a healthy and empowered life you love. Welcome to Be Strong Minded episode. Today, my episode, it's promised to be really strong because Andrea Ohn is she's a life coach, author, and hellraiser. Andrea is passionate about empowering women to value themselves and fiercely love who they are. She helps high-achieving women let go of perfectionism, isolation, control, and choosing courage and confidence instead. You can learn about her more at yourkickasslife.com that I will add after this amazing interview in the show notes. Good morning, Andrea.
Petia, good morning to you too. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I told you right before we started to recording, I've been following your journey and I truly love what you stand for. Now imagine that my audience never heard about Andrea. Who?
Imagine that.
I don't even think that's possible. And if it is, Andrea, what would be the one thing that you would say to someone strange who never heard about you that you want them to know?
I want them to know that I believe in them, that I believe in them for whatever it is that they are striving for to live their best life.
That's incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's the most important thing because I feel like when you have the belief in yourself, you truly become unstoppable.
Yes. And it doesn't mean that you don't have setbacks. I think it's a misconception that people like us who work in personal development or even, you know, people who are in the work and they're doing self-help and they're working on themselves, it's a misconception that once you quote unquote arrive, you know, that the arrival is that you always believe in yourself, that you always have self-confidence, that you are fearless, which I'm not a fan of that word. And that's not exactly true. My job is to help women recognize where they are not in alignment with their best selves quickly, and whether that's with their negative self-talk, whether that's the behaviors that you mentioned in the intro, so that they can recognize it as soon as possible and sort of course correct. That's really what the win is.
No, absolutely. I agree with that because sometimes it looks like when you look at the people who are already there, they're writing their books, they get their dream partner, houses, career, whatever. People who are still at the beginnings of their journeys, they look and like, yeah, that's easy for you. You already got all of this. You already got it all together. And disclaimer, nobody has it always together.
Nobody has it always together. Yes. And I don't mean to kind of jump over that there are some people who do have it easier. You know, speaking of, I think we all should own whatever privilege that we do have. But no, you're right. I think definitely nobody has it together. Nobody has all the answers. I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm still a student myself. I am on the same path that y'all are on. I might just be in a different place of that path. And I do have my own tumbles back. And I think that that's why one of the things that my audience loves about me is that I still talk about some of the struggles that I have, you know, arguments and miscommunications I have with my husband, parenting fails, you know, I have like, you know, stepped in shit with one of my friends and I have to circle back and apologize and make amends. And I call it like cleaning up your messes. All of those things still happen to me.
Absolutely. I think that the difference is that longer you're working on yourself and you're able to recognize, you know, when something is not aligned with your best self, like you mentioned, you correct it faster.
Mm-hmm. That's the win. That's the biggest win. And that's what I think that kind of lets everybody off the hook a little bit. Because, you know, I talk a lot about perfectionism. I see perfectionism in personal development. I see people wanting to get it right, wanting to check off all the boxes, give me the step-by-step process. And that can do, I feel, can do more harm than good.
So how did perfectionism affect your life?
I very much felt that I made up a story that if I looked perfect, acted perfect, had everything looking amazing on the outside, that that would protect me from criticism and judgment from other people, rejection, abandonment, you know, really difficult things like, you know, shame and all of, and humiliation, all of those difficult things. And it in fact did not. And also it was exhausting. So that's really what it looked like from a very general sense.
So did you come to the point where you were just so burned out that you realized, okay, the perfectionism isn't working. What's the next step? What is the other option of it?
No, I wish that it would have been an easy lesson like that. My whole life fell apart. Let's see, how do I sum this up? I was married before. We had been together for about 13 years at that point. We started dating when we were teenagers. We were discussing having our first child. I felt like everything was okay. We did not by any means have a perfect marriage. But I thought, you know, it was time. I was 30, 31. I wanted to have a baby. He and I had been together for a long time, and he had an affair with our neighbor and got her pregnant. That relationship fell apart. We, you know, filed for divorce, and is not very long after I entered a relationship with someone whom I didn't know it at the time, but he was a drug addict and had lied about having cancer during our relationship to cover up his addiction. 9 months later, he had conned me out of thousands and thousands of dollars, lied about everything, and I was also pregnant. So, you know, I wasn't a 16-year-old girl. I was 31 then. I was a grown woman. And this was right around the time all of my friends were getting married and having babies and all, you know, that time in our life. And it was, I was on the floor in the fetal position, just, what do I do? I mean, that was my rock bottom. And so that was sort of my catalyst into 12-step programs for codependency, lots and lots of self-help books, lots of therapy. And I sort of put myself on the fast track because I knew that even though I was at my rock bottom, there was a voice that said, this is not where you were meant to end up. This is a failure, but this is where you rebuild your life. And I had never been not in a relationship before. I had always relied on a man to esteem me, to make me feel good about myself. So when he felt good about me, I felt good about me, and vice versa. It's a terrible way to live. And it was a huge wake-up call for me. And so that's really when I could take a look back and go, oh, here's my struggle, perfectionism, control, some people-pleasing, but it was a lot of approval-seeking and isolating and hiding out. I would not reach out to my friends and tell them the whole truth. I was just humiliated and ashamed of where I was. And lots of numbing out. I personally numbed out with exercise and food restriction, with definitely with men and control. It was kind of a mess, Petya. Like, I won't lie, but it was such a gift that's what it took for me, because I tend to not learn things the easy way. I wish it was just burnout, to answer your question, but that's sort of the long and short of really when I saw what was actually happening.
Thank you so much for sharing it. You know, I know that anytime that we share our story and we go back to past to let know people and understand, we still can feel a little bit vulnerable because it brings us back to the moment. So I really appreciate that you're so open. And I know that's who you are. You always openly share. And still, I want you to know that I really appreciate it. Because so many people out there, Andrea, and let's be frank, so many women, they are suffering quietly, because as you were describing your past, I put myself in my past. I'm like, yes, numbing, check, approval seeking, relationships that are toxic, you know, giving it all, staying empty, and then just numbing. And it was overtraining, binging on food, you know, and I know that many women are still suffering quietly because you are talking about guilt and shame. And for some reason, there is this feeling like, let me take care of everybody. I want everybody around me to be happy because then I have the right to be happy. I have the right to take care of myself. So many times it never gets to that point. Okay, let me take care of the business, the family, the partner, the kids, whatever. Then I will take care of myself. There is no. Excuse me as I interrupt today's podcast episode, which I hope you're getting a ton of value from. If you're someone who has hit somewhat of glass ceiling in your personal and or business life, and you feel lost and unsure why, maybe even frustrated with it, I hear you. Here is the thing that happens when we hit a block in either business or personal life. It's because there is an internal blind spot that we aren't seeing and working through. It's because there is some sort of hidden belief that it's holding us back from leveling up and serving the world in the way we really desire to. It can be embarrassing and hard to step back and want to put in the work to bring our inner battles to surface. We want to keep pushing down the traumatic relationship, the lack of confidence, self-hate, down to the depths of us when nobody can see it. But sister, that's what's keeping you stuck. If you're ready to finally get out of your own way, dig deep, and dissolve those eternal bottles that are keeping you in a lackluster life, then I'm here for you. Head over to my link, calendly.com/bestrongminded, to set up a free 1-on-1 call with me so we can begin getting you into a state of abundance, joy, and closer to all of your desires. No more excuses. You deserve this. I will see you on our call. And now, back to today's show.
At the expense of your own soul.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know that many women are still hiding and suffering quietly. And more we share our stories, that they can realize that they're not there by themselves. It's okay. It's incredible. So thank you. And you were mentioning self-help books. Was there any book that truly helped you back in those times when you starting to work on yourself to stop being codependent and numbing? Was there something that truly changed the way you felt or look at the world?
Yes. The ones that I truly, where I read them and was like, oh my God, this is my life, was Codependent No More by Melody Beattie.
I have it.
As well as, I mean, I feel like it's a staple for self-help people. I feel like so many of us fall somewhere on the spectrum of codependence, and I think it's a wide spectrum. And some of the things, you know, if you look at the list of behaviors, some of it is completely normal human behavior, but if you put them all together, yeah, it might be something to look at for your listeners. As well as, personally, I struggled with love addiction. And it's a term that isn't talked about a whole lot. All love addicts are codependent, but not all codependents are love addicts. And so that particular book, Facing Love Addiction by Pia Melody, really, really helped me. I mean, if nothing else, to see the cycle that I was in with men and relationships and to know that I was addicted, that it was never really love that I was feeling. I was addicted to the intensity. I was addicted to the chaos. I was addicted to the falling in love, which it's like a drug for many of us. Like what happens in the brain is the same hormones are affected that when we do lines of cocaine. And so for me, it was just this kind of roller coaster of new relationships and then leaving them behind. And then a new relationship, it was interesting and just sad and just really sad.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I never heard about the second book, so I will definitely check it out and leave it in the notes today. And you mentioned also that starting with the books and the therapy help you to be on the fast track. Mm-hmm. So for someone who is still in the place that they are feeling, okay, something isn't right. Like, I know I can feel better than where I am right now in the place in my life. What would be some first steps that you would like recommend them what to do?
If you're in the very beginning, I recommend starting with self-help books and podcasts like yours. I think that that's great. And then be careful if you are just consuming information and not doing any of the work. And that's not to judge people who are doing that. I think that when you're ready to do the work, you're ready to do the work. But just recognize that, you know, my second book, more specifically, there's questions at the end of each chapter. Get out a piece of paper and actually answer the questions. You know, that's doing the work. And another thing that I did was I had been going to therapy all along. And then when everything fell apart, I had a conversation with my therapist who she knew me very well. And I was finally ready to believe her when she pointed out my blind spots. Because for so long, I had dismissed some of the things that she was telling me, or I had accepted them, but I blamed other people for it. You know, well, if only my boyfriend would treat me better or do X, Y, and Z, you know, get his shit together, then I could stop doing X, Y, and Z. And I also used to, in the very beginning, this was before probably my life fell apart, I used to write my friends' names in my self-help books. And I'm like, oh, Petia does this and Sasha does this, you know, like, but not me. And it really was about taking radical responsibility for my behaviors. And at the same time, trying my best to be aware of my self-talk during those times, because a lot of times we can get into those places where, you know, the lights come on and we're like, holy crap, look at how bad it is. Like, look at this mess. I talk to myself terribly. I don't participate in any self-care. I'm a perfectionist. I'm a people pleaser. And then you're throwing your hands up like, oh, there's no hope for me. I want to just honor that place, because that is a very deeply uncomfortable place to be. And there can be some grief in that. I call that the point of no return. Like, when you hit this point where you can't unsee what you have seen, but yet to look forward of doing the work of maybe going to a 12-step program, doing some trauma therapy, if that's what you need, of really, really diving into this deeper, more intense work, can feel just as scary as anything ever. So I just want to acknowledge that is a really scary place to be, the point of no return. And a lot of people kind of stay in that place for a little while, but I just want to point out, you know, you have to get to that place where I call it the tipping point, where it's a little bit less scary to try to go in, to try to do some of the work than to stay still. It's just a little bit less scary to do the work.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing it out, because I feel like when you're facing the things that are uncomfortable,
yeah,
I know we don't like it. And if we don't change where we are, it's going to suck even for longer. You know, yeah. Like, I remember I was giving talk last week in LA, and I was asking my audience to participate and just let me know if where you are right now, it's all that is, nothing will ever change. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Nobody raised their hands. They're not. You know, it's funny, right? Because they're not. Most people are not okay, because they know there is a more, mm-hmm. that they are not doing really their best. So I really, really love that you're talking about, okay, take the radical responsibility and then don't be so hard on yourself. Like, oh my gosh, there's no hope. Like, I'm terrible. And yeah. That's even
worse. Yeah, and I also like the question, what's the alternative? So when people are saying I'm too uncomfortable, or you know, they're thinking I'm too uncomfortable to do this work, it seems too hard, it seems too daunting, and ask yourself, well, what's the alternative? Is that mm-hmm. working for you? And you know, I would say 99.9% of the time the answer is no. And if you need to stay where you are, then you need to stay where you are. But I challenge that. I really, really challenge that.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. What's the alternative if where you are right now, it's not working? So are there any like specific tools that you were using? Like, did you journal? Or I know that you were mentioning therapy. Did you hire a coach? What were the doing parts for mm-hmm. you?
Yes, definitely. For me, as I've mentioned before, 12-step programs worked specifically Codependence Anonymous. For anyone that's thinking of doing it, I just have one piece of advice. Find the right meeting. Find a meeting that works for you if you decide to go that route, because there are some that are not great. You know, you put a bunch of codependents together and watch out. You know, it can be can be interesting. So find a meeting that you like. Find a group of people that you like. Definitely therapy. Let me think back. I think also it was being intentional about who I surrounded myself with. Mm. So I sadly had to let go of some friendships, some people that were stuck in their story, that were stuck in behaviors that didn't align with me. And it was not at all about making them wrong or making myself feel better than them or anything like that. It really is, you know, I kind of cringe now, and I've used the term before, you know, like toxic relationships, toxic people. I don't really know, like, are there really any toxic people? I think that there can be toxic relationships. I think that there can be people who are not well, but I feel like the word I don't know. I'm still kind of working that one through. But for me, they were just friendships that were past their expiration date. And I think we served each other well, and I learned lessons from them. And I still follow some of them on Instagram and, you know, and like love the pictures of their kids, but it wasn't serving the person that I really wanted to be. And again, it does not make that person wrong or, it was the end of our chapter together in a friendship, or sometimes it's an intimate relationship. That was a really huge one too.
So letting go and recognizing, okay, it was great, because it taught me something. It helped me realize, what do I want? What do I don't want? So it's not, again, about making the people wrong. It's taking the responsibility and say, it was great and I'm ready to move on. And not everybody will stay with you on the whole journey.
Yeah. And it's just wishing them well and walking away. And sometimes that is kind of like a breakup conversation. Not always. It really depends on the friendship and what that looked like. But it is just about who are the people in my life that are going to serve my biggest self, you know, the person over there that I am striving for, who's going to help me bridge that gap and who isn't. You don't have room for every single person in your life.
Yeah. That's true. So some people, you just wish them well and you go on your journey.
Exactly.
So let me ask you, Andrea, do you have any final thought or something that you would like to share with the audience?
I think that I just want to acknowledge their work, you know, that they're doing this work, whether they are full on invested and are hiring coaches and have their therapist and their, you know, participating in retreats and workshops and all of those things, or they are just beginning on their journey and maybe take breaks from it and are reading self-help books, wherever it is. Like I was having another conversation with somebody maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it just dawned on me, like, what if the whole world did this work? What if the whole world participated in personal development and massive self-awareness and took responsibility for their, you know, for their wrongs and mistakes that they had made before, and truly, truly apologized for it and said, how can I do better? How can I do better? Whoa, the world would change. we would all change so much. And I just am truly blessed to have conversations like these with people like you and listeners like yours. And I truly believe people's time is so incredibly valuable. To me, time is more important than money, because money is infinite. Like, your earning potential is infinite, and time is finite. So thank you to everyone who's listened to this, and just thank you for everyone who's doing the work.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you so much. And Andrea, if they want to follow your work, if they want to follow your journey, where is the best place where to connect with you?
Best place is yourkickasslife.com. I spend probably the majority of my time interacting with my community on Instagram at the same handle, Your Kickass Life. And then my two books, this is the one I'm the most proud of, is the latest one. And yeah, that's how to find me out on the internets.
Beautiful. And your book, is it on Amazon or is it on your website? Where can we add the link?
It's in Barnes & Noble. It's in most bookstores. And it's also in 18 countries.
It's exciting.
Currently being published. It's out in several, but we're in the process of publishing in 18 countries, and including the United States. And yeah, Amazon, Target.com, all of those places.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Andrea, for sharing your time, because I know how precious it is. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Petya.
Thank you so much for spending your time with me on the Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm happy we could share this time together to create a space for the new exciting life that is on its way. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and I would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes. Leave us honest thoughts and comments. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would be really appreciated if you can help us on a journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, keep shining your light.